Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Raised up for us Jesus, a deliverer. The wilderness wanderings represent the wanderings that many Christians find themselves in because of doubt and unbelief. Because they won't enter in to whatever it is God's saying, let's tackle this, let's do this, let's go in here. They're afraid. So they won't go in, they won't enter, they won't take the battle on, and they're left to wander because there is no other battle. There is no other progression. God has a plan, a purpose. This is what I've given, but we won't do it, and so we're left to wander, trying to find other things that we might be able to fill ourselves with. The land of Canaan represents maturing growth.
What is the task that God has given you to do? As you listen to today's message from Pastor Troy, he teaches you that many Christians experience the wilderness wanderings because of fear and doubt. God has a purpose and plan for your life. He has an assignment that He desires for you to take hold of and to do. Pastor Troy encourages you to not let fear rule in your heart, but to step with faith into what God has called you to do. God promises to be with you, to strengthen you, and to never leave you. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
One of the nice things about going through Hebrews chapter 11 is that we see examples of those who lived the faith that we're called to live. You do realize that, right? As Christians, we're called to live the life of faith. And so we see those who have lived that life and what that meant for them and how they overcame and what they did. It's good that we have them to look to, this cloud of witnesses, those who've gone before. Because in this world, we have enough of those who could probably do a better job leading by saying, do as I say, not as I do. That seems to be the mindset today. I will talk and I will say, and here's what you should do, and it may even be right. But because of our life, people looking at us, there are certain things about the choices that we make and the life that we're living, the stuff that surrounds us, that cause people to question what we have to say, even if it's true. So we have these examples. Those who walk by faith. Joshua's next on the list for us. An example of someone who has faith to live victoriously. The faith to live victoriously. Between verse 29, the passing through the Red Sea, and verse 30, the Battle of Jericho, about 40 years pass. You know what they were doing for those 40 years, right? They were wandering. Wandering around. Meandering. They were told to go into the land, but they were afraid. So they were reduced to wandering around. You know what happened during those 40 years other than wandering? Well, grumbling and complaining, idolatry, and more wandering. Not a lot good happens when we're left to the wandering, you know what I mean? For us, it might say, not a lot of good happens when we're left with too much time on our own hands to just do what we want, when we're aimless and not focused. The wilderness for Israel was not God's goal. His goal wasn't the wilderness. His goal was Canaan. But they missed Canaan because they were afraid. They were afraid to enter the land. They didn't trust God. And that's where their fear came from. They went in, they spied it out, and then they were worried that the giants were too big. This is too big. This is too hard. I don't know if we can do this. And so they didn't go in. Now, to be clear, the land of Canaan does not represent heaven. I know some of the hymns lead us to believe that Canaan is heaven. Canaan's a picture of heaven because the songs will say, when the angels come to carry me home, cross the Jordan, like I'm going into heaven. But that's not what Canaan seems to represent. Because if it did, then that would mean we have a lot of battles we're going to be fighting in heaven. Because as soon as they entered Canaan, that's what happened. Battle after battle after battle. But that's not what happens in heaven. Instead, what Canaan represents is living now. And I'll be more specific in a little bit. But living now in the world as a Christian. How to do it victoriously. Throughout their journey and their time in the land, we see victory. We see the way not to gain victory. The way to gain land and the way to lose land. So, as we've looked at Hebrews, they've given us the analogies already. Egypt, the wilderness, Canaan, different places. Egypt was the place of bondage, right? They couldn't follow the Lord. They didn't even have really a relationship with Him at that time. They were slaves, lost, and they could do nothing else. Sort of like us when we're in the world, we're lost. There's nothing we can do about it. We say we like these things and we like them. But the truth is we don't know any better. We're lost. We like these things even though they destroy us because we have no idea where we're supposed to be going and that there's more to us than that. God has more for us than that. So that's Egypt. But God raised a deliverer for them, delivering them from that, giving them a name. I know He led them out and called them numbers, but He numbered them and He named them. They were just slaves before, but now they were the army of God. They had a purpose. And so He raised up the deliverer, Moses, and in the same way, God raised up for us Jesus, a deliverer. The wilderness wanderings represent the wanderings that many Christians find themselves in because of doubt and unbelief. Because they won't enter in to whatever it is God's saying, let's tackle this, let's do this, let's go in here. They're afraid. So they won't go in, they won't enter, they won't take the battle on, and they're left to wander because there is no other battle. There is no other progression. God has a plan, a purpose. This is what I've given, but we won't do it, and so we're left to wander, trying to find other things that we might be able to fill ourselves with. The land of Canaan represents maturing growth, where there are victories and there are setbacks and there are defeats, but ultimately, when the eyes are turned to the Lord, there's always deliverance. Always. They didn't go in the land because they didn't believe and they failed to grow. Nothing really happened except that one generation never got to go in the land. So let's see what we can learn about the faith to live victoriously because it's very important for us. If you're breathing today, you want to live victoriously. Verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now, to get more of the story, I'm just going to read Joshua 1, verses 1 and 2, which says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. I want to highlight one word there, and that is giving. The land I am giving to them. The first thing that we learn about the land of Canaan is that it was given to them. They didn't earn it. They didn't look at the board and shop it, you know, like, well, like that spot there. It was given to them. This is what I have for you. And my plan, as I unfold it for your life, this is where I want you. And this is where there'll be victory, because I have a plan. One thing we need to remember is we don't earn anything that God has for us. We can miss out, but we never earn it. We don't scratch and claw for it. We don't become better for it, because He gives it to us. He gives it. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God already has a plan. He knows you, and He knows He has a purpose. In fact, we don't even earn our own salvation. The previous verses right before Ephesians 2:10, which we just read, are 2:8 and 9, which say, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, we can sit on the sidelines, We can applaud those who do serve the Lord. We can wander around here and there. We can keep seeking for something else, getting something I earn or something I would rather have, trying other things instead. I don't want that. That's too difficult. I don't like that. Or we can surrender and trust the Lord. These are God's battles. It's what God has prepared. And thus we would say, Lord, as all of these would do, I surrender. Use me as you will. I want to be your servant. So the first thing I want to note is there is purpose in our walk. There is purpose in our walk. We're not just called to get saved and then do the best you can with life, see in the end, but there's actually purpose for our existence and our being left behind. We have no control over when we were born, where we were born, or to who we were born. Did you have control? Because that was really good if you did that before you ever were born. You didn't have any control, right? Some of us may have complained about it, told God or someone else, I should have been born. Some will look at the Victorian era and the foo-foo stuff and all that, and they're like, I should have been in that era. The way they danced and the way they lived, I know someone made a mistake. I should have been born then. But the truth is, no, you shouldn't have, because God is not wrong. God created us, designing us, called us right here in this time, like was said of Esther, for such a time as this. In every generation, they need God-fearers, people who trust the Lord. And this generation is no different. I'm certain that in any generation, you'll have some that wish they could be in the future where there's advanced technology. I wish they had cures for things and I'd be in the future or in the past. But God has ordained that there's something for us to walk in right here, right now. Canaan represents entering that purpose. It's a place where the major battles begin. When they were wandering, there weren't really any major battles. I mean, it was all within themselves. But entering in, there were big battles, huge battles. This first one was big. And we'll talk about that for sure. But the battles begin when they step into the land, the place where the process of growing really begins to take place. It's the place that many avoid or miss.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
It could be because of fear. I'm afraid to go in. It could be pride. I'm too proud to do something like that. There should be more for me than that. It could be unbelief. I don't know if God can do that. Or it could just be stubbornness. I don't want that. Charles Spurgeon said, most Christians, as to the river of experience, are only up to the ankles. Some others have waded till the stream is up to the knees. A few find it chest high, and a few, oh, how few, find it a river to swim in, the bottom of which they cannot touch. The thing about not being able to touch the bottom is you have no control. I mean, we can paddle and those things if you can swim, but you lose a lot of traction, a lot of control. I mean, the current can take you. And that's exactly where we want to be, in God's hands, letting His Spirit, being yielded to His Spirit, who wants to lead us like the waves would lead us in waters too deep for us, that He could lead us. Now, the question that I just want to ask you this morning, how much ground do you want to take that God has given you? He's given you. Here's what I want. Here's what I want to do with you. Not those things, not those things, not what he has, not what she has. Here's what I have. What are you going to do about it? Stubbornly walk away? Oh, we'll keep wandering. You want to enter in, You want to fight the battles. You want to trust me by faith. And it's a process too. So you don't want to delay, because it's not like as soon as I say yes, finally, bam, I got everything. It's perfect. It's slowly. There's a lot more growing to do when you step in and begin to walk in what God has for you. It's a process. He even told the Israelites in Exodus 23, I'm going to give you the land, but not all of it all at once, because the wild beast will take over, become desolate, it would overrun you. So a little at a time. Now, that's to encourage you. But I also want to let you know that just because he has something he wants to give you, it doesn't mean you'll walk in it or walk in all of it. Because the Israelites, that first generation, when they said, no, we're too afraid, we're afraid, so they were reduced to wandering around, how much of Canaan did they get to walk in? They don't represent unsaved people. They were redeemed. They were afraid, and they never got to enter into the promises of God here. They were afraid. They wouldn't trust God by faith. The next generation, at least they got to go in, but they have their own troubles. They had their own fears and failures later on. After Joshua dies, later on, after their initial leaders who knew God, then they started to have troubles. But so many of us, we don't enter into what God has for us because we don't believe him. We don't trust him, or we're afraid. Oh, we're just stubborn. We want something else. We want some of the things in this world when God is trying to give us something that's heavenly, that has an eternal purpose. Now, it could be from malnourishment. We don't feed on the scriptures enough to be inspired and realize, hey, there's a purpose greater than all of this. It could be that we don't understand the Bible very well. We read it and like, I'm not sure how to process that or take that. And so we don't really understand it because we're not studying. Or it could be just stubborn unbelief so that we don't cooperate with God. I hear the conviction, but it's very light now, and I hope it goes away because I'm not changing that. So we have a purpose we need to walk in if we want to walk victoriously. You can be as moral as you want to be out in the wilderness, but you're not going to experience victory. You'll get by. Maybe you won't have any problems. You know, God won't have to spank you or anything like that. And yahoo, do I still see the pillar? There's the pillar. There's the pillar. If you're someone whose Christian experience is always, where's the pillar? Oh, there's the pillar. And you go to church. Oh, there's the pillar. Good. Okay, good. We're still there. Listen, your Christian experience is the wilderness. It shouldn't be like that. We should have a sense of direction, purpose, focus. I have a reason to wake up today and do the things that I'm doing today because I'm serving the living God. It keeps us out of a lot of trouble too. Let's read the verse again. We'll find out that there's more that we have, more than just purpose in our walk. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. There's also power in our walk. When we walk where God wants us to walk, there is victory. There's power. The Battle of Jericho showed us and showed Israel the power of God to be able to do what he said he was going to do. Follow me, I'm going to get the land. It showed them that. Think about it. They're ex-slaves who've depended heavily on God to do everything for them, even crossing waters. Two of them, the Jordan, the Red Sea. So they come in, just a ragtag group trying to figure things out, and they come up against Jericho. That's the next battle. They come up against Jericho, and it is a fortress. They wonder, what are we going to spoon them to death? How are we going to get this victory? I don't know what we're going to do. They must have been very intimidated, the Israelites, not Jericho. But we find that Jericho was very intimidated, not because of what they saw. That is going to come attack us, but because of what they heard their God did. That's what we'll find out when we look at Rahab's life next week. They were concerned about God, what he had done, how he had given them certain victories. But as far as Israel is concerned, they don't know that. They don't know Jericho has heard all of that. They're thinking, how do we get this victory? They're young in their faith. So what does God ask of a young group of people trying to follow him? And this is the first battle here. This is the first big battle here in the land. So what is he going to ask them to do? Some major thing, some big thing? No, something easy. You know what he asks them to do? Walk around the city. I want you to walk around it 7 days, and then also blow your horns. We're going to really make some party noise. And then the last day. All right, you ready? You ready? We're ready. Let us know what's going to happen. Here's what I want you to do. Here's when you get the victory. Okay, I want you to yell at them. You want us to what? Shout. Do you understand English or Hebrew? You want us to shout. That's the final blow. That's the final blow. So here's the information. It sounds like a foolish thing, really. I mean, according to my mind. I say, Joshua, I am so glad I saw the parting of the Red Sea and certain things happen because you're getting older, Joshua. And this that you just told me about God is hard to take in. I think we might need a new leader. But here's what happened. When we back up, God's giving them the land. Okay? So he's going to get the victory. And he's going to teach them to fight. But this is still early and their faith is being built up. So all he asks of them is to do something very simple. Do what I say. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like it'll give you victory. But see, Jericho was simply a test. That's it. God was going to show them that I'm going to get the victory, but you need to trust me. Will you, when I say something to you, when I lead you, will you do it? It's like a faith meter. You know, there's this race car game that you have to squirt water into this target, and the more accurate you are, the faster your car goes. And it's like for us, that's how we get the victory. We aim at the target. We go, all right, Lord, here's what you want me to do, and we do what God's asking us to do, and our faith meter shoots up, and boom, the balloon pops. We get the victory. Because God's going to get the victory, not us. See, for us, we reevaluate too much. God said, walk around, shout, blow trumpets and stuff. So I don't think that's going to work. So here's what I'm also going to do. I'm also going to, every now and then, I'll sneak up on the backside and I'll start shoveling out 15 minutes. I can catch up with the guys and I'll do something. I'll do my part. I'll contribute. That can get somebody killed. But that's what we try to do. We try to add something we think will work to what God says to do, which we don't think will work. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't even relate. But God is doing stuff in us that we don't even recognize. And he's doing it in us, not in everybody else around us. So we walk by faith. All that was required of them, it seemed foolish, but all that was required of them was believe me and obey. That's it. Very simple. And that's what we're asked to do, right? Just believe me and obey. He's telling each one of us something different, if we'll listen, about our life and our circumstances, how to enter that purpose and how to be victorious in it. And if we won't listen, we won't take any ground. We may not even get in the land. We'll just wander around in life. But listen, each one of us has a Jericho. We all have a Jericho. Some circumstance that seems impossible that just looms large right before us. Don't know how victory could be ever won. For some, it might be an internal Jericho. You have an internal struggle. Something you're like, I can never overcome this. Maybe it's a temper. And you think, I can never get a grasp on this. How do I win? That's your Jericho. Others, it might be an external Jericho. The person that you've been praying for forever. Those walls will never crumble. Or it's a work that God has given you to do. Something he has placed before you. Motherhood or some ministry, and you think, I don't know that I can do this.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry. Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life and that you enjoy learning more about him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.